It's Hoffman, Isaacs, and Purcell. Peas in a pod.
Yeah, it's true.
Holy trinity of shit actors.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
I think penetrates with Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete Series, the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and the very last episode of a TV series and just try and figure out what happened. My name's Morgan, and joining me to do this is my good friend and lockdown buddy, Jerome Wiseman. Jeremy, how are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Not your lockdown buddy, though. I don't know about that.
No, it's true. We're in different places.
Yeah, we are.
We're 50 kilometres apart, so... yeah, I don't know. Apologies for that mistake. That as the crow flies.
You said that with a lot of certainty. I wouldn't want to mislead the listeners. There's a lot of fake news about these days, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to be grouped in with that service. Those services are fake news.
It's too late now. Cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of fake news enthusiast and fake news buster, Aaron Boughton. Aaron, how are you?
I'm great, Morgan. I love it and I love busting it.
I bet you do. It's good to have you here. It's good to have
my true
that.
Passion. This is just a side project for me. This is how I pay my bills.
Exactly.
Fake news makes my heart sore.
And fake news content producer Scott Burgess. Scotty, how are you?
I'm really well. The world's running a little bit dry for fake news because how can you even tell anymore? You know.
Yeah. The reason you got to do it is that it's boring. The world is so boring. Nothing happens without all this fake news. We'd just be hanging out, just talking about old TV shows. So.
Exactly. That's the whole philosophy that my business runs on.
Exactly.
Here to entertain the people.
Exactly.
This is where we find the truth in the Incomplete series. So we get to the true human experience.
Exactly. Speaking of true human experience, human experience doesn't get any more intense than breaking out of jail.
We've all been there.
Exactly. And it's like a rite of passage as a human. You got to go to prison and then you got to break out of prison.
Mm-hmm. Michael Scofield is the everyman.
Exactly. The complexities of getting out of prison is the real experience. So prison break. We talked about doing a prison show. Well, we've talked about doing a prison show for a while, and we got to Prison Break, which I never watched. Did you guys actually ever see any of this show? But when it came out, because it was massive when it first came, like first hit the scene.
This cat right here has.
Oh yeah, I was big into it on its original run. I remember Scott, you and I had a bit of a rivalry between Prison Break and Heroes.
Yeah,
you know, those teenage years when you're like really pit. All your like identity on one bit of pop culture.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a real face off.
You gotta go all in. I would still go all in on that.
Who won?
I'm willing particularly after revisiting these two episodes to honorably concede.
Well, one day when we track back and take a look at Heroes, which might do now that you said it. I'm sure that's not aged well as well.
So. Yeah, I mean, you've got a hell of a lead, though.
It can't be as bad.
You'd have to fumble real bad to come back from this.
I mean, first episode, I reckon that's a surefire.
Yeah, yeah.
But beyond that, not so sure.
Honestly, I can't get over, like, I was actually really looking forward to watching this pilot. I was thinking in my mind, I'm like, I reckon the pilot in the first season will be really cool of this show. And then
TV.
The finale was going to be trash because... You can't base a show on breaking out of prison and it have any more content than one season because once they're out, that's kind of it. You're kind of done.
It's a bit like a high school show in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like all the drama is based around this specific location and getting out of it.
Yeah.
And that's the entire premise. And once you're out, you're left with nothing.
There's no
substance behind that.
Yeah. I think with all the teen shows that we've done like that, they all end up being crazy because once you're out, like, there's only, it's like, oh, we can follow them in college. Well, once I get out of college, it just becomes a different show. It's not about the high school anymore.
How long did the first Prison Break take to execute?
In show universe time.
Did they get out in the first season or?
I have a feeling it might be around the first season. Okay. It couldn't be any less for sure. Yeah.
Couldn't be less. Like,
that'd be tricky.
Yeah, season one finished with the escape.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I remember them advertising season two, Prison Break on the Run. And the entire second season was just them on the run.
They kind of changed the...
Straight back to the ads, more.
Yeah, I really didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to bring it up, but I didn't have a choice.
Australia's Dominic Purcell.
I don't know if you guys saw the Wikipedia page for the pilot, but no. there is a quote from Charlie Brooker, who is the creator of Black Mirror and a bunch of other stuff. He used to do TV and movie reviews for The Guardian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got a quote from him reviewing the pilot in The Guardian, and he said, it is possibly the dumbest story ever told, and that he jokes that the writing is like they took a two-year-old to see The Shawshank Redemption, asked them to recount the plot 3 weeks later, wrote down everything he said, and filmed it.
That is savage and bang on.
It's pretty accurate. It's so brutal.
I tell you what. That is aged so well.
So this is what we're going into.
It breaks 14-year-old me's heart, but it speaks to 29-year-old me very deeply.
I was shocked at how boring and. Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell, they hit first gear and they just
charisma.
Don't get out of that.
No charisma at all.
But Wentworth Miller, the main guy, he plays it so smart.
He's way too smug.
Oh yeah,
but it just does not pull it off at
painful.
All.
Neither of them are very good actors. It's a very deeply flawed show.
That's a safe call.
Yeah. And I think that they're definitely not toeing the line.
I don't think they've been really seen in anything else since, and they've had to restart the Prison Break franchise to get an injection of cash.
Well, it's been restarted, so they brought it back in 2017, and now they're bringing it back again next year. Yeah, it's getting another season, like 4 years.
It had an original four run from 04 to 07, back 10 years later for one, and then they're bringing it back
Back again for another
That's
four
such
years.
A weird run.
It's such a weird run, and I don't, like, we were talking earlier this week about how Dexter's coming back for a 10th season, which I'm incredibly excited about, because I love Dexter.
Why? Oh,
you're not happy about it?
No,
you're not happy about Dexter coming back.
Avenge the awful ending.
That last episode, I remember reading a review about it saying the description of its ending was it shrugged, gave up, and died. That's exactly what happened, and it was so incomplete. I would like to see.
Has there been a reboot?
I don't trust him. I don't trust him.
No. This is the first time, and it's got legs because he moved out away from the original everything, and the story is all about him because all the other characters are gone. So I'm keen to watch it.
Is this like where where a show was finished and it was a good ending, and it's like you should leave well enough alone, but because the ending was so bad? It's just a free hit.
It's a free hit. It's a
you can
free
only
hit.
Make it better. The legacy was just shot from that finale, have to do something to fix it.
It's also, but it's a show that you can read. Like, it would be interesting to see this character 10 years after all the events. Like, I actually think that's got legs to do that. Whereas Prison Break, in 10 years, do they just go back to jail again and get out again?
I'll agree with that. But I think that Dexter burned their audience in a way that. Almost no other show did.
Was it that bad?
Oh, they did.
Game of Thrones was sort of rivaling it, but it still wasn't as bad. Yeah. Like,
Dexter really kind of not. I felt like they really knifed me. I was really pissed off with the way they.
Why are you so willing to go back then?
Because it was such a shit ending. Like, I need. You can't leave it the way they did. It was just so shit. Like,
time heals all wounds, Jez. He's ready to be hurt again.
Really feel like I can feel like I can change him, you know, if I go back.
Maybe this time.
Give him one more chance.
I can fix him.
Love a bad boy.
I do love a bad boy. Well, I've been hurt before, though.
Should we pivot back to what we were meant to be talking about?
Exactly. And maybe we should jump into the... Yeah, definitely. I think we're getting off track again.
Prison Break opens with an overly cocky Michael Scofield, fresh from the tattoo parlor, robbing a bank and intentionally getting caught. Do not pass go, do not collect $200, and he is on his way straight to prison.
for the term of your sentence?
I'm setting it at 5 years. You'll be eligible for parole in half that time. Sentence to be carried out immediately.
There, his exposition-spouting cellmate Sucre informs us of another prisoner, Lincoln, who is about to face the death penalty for killing the vice president's brother. But lo and behold, our smug man Michael is actually Lincoln's sibling, who's been intentionally locked up in order to break him out.
I'm getting you out of here. It's impossible. Not if you design the place, it isn't.
The episode is filled out with some wooden father-son bonding, secret paper cranes dropped in sewers, FBI assassinated bishops, and a popsicle sculpture of the Taj Mahal. And it all ends with a confusing tattoo reveal that leaves you on the edge of your seat, wondering how any of this makes any sense.
Okay, look, I want to really kick it off and say my first issue.
No, we've got it. So we've got to start with the tattoo reveal, right? That's what we've got to start.
Before that, I just want to. Well, it is tattoo related. After in this opening scene when he's getting the tattoo, she finishes mm-hmm. the tattoo. He just puts his shirt right on.
Yeah.
Like it's the most intricate tattoo ever.
Bleeding
like,
straight just, into the shirt.
And he really needs ruined. To take good care of those tats.
Oh, like, yeah,
they need
yeah.
to come up it's, crystal clear. Otherwise, it's he's fast.
So important. Yeah. It just.
But I was always under the assumption that the whole gimmick of this show was that he got the blueprints tattooed on him. But he didn't. He got like a tattoo that somehow if you kind of squint, you could see the lines running through it. And when they reveal it, there's like...
I mean, you know, like if it's the blueprints, the guards would see it.
How would his brother know that that's what that was?
Because I thought it was going to be some sort of like UV... black light kind right. of situation where he's like yeah. they did one layer underneath of those yeah you know black light tattoos, that's a thing.
But they instead of that it's like when he reveals it to his brother they have this overlay of like the
it's yeah. so ridiculous
yeah like drawing,
so like a
drawing the lines around
like a
constellation.
A beautiful mind kind of
yeah yeah, yeah.
Not yeah. only that, how hard would it be to read a set of blueprints on someone's body? Yeah. Like, it's just not... A, it's not like it's a...
But it's
like
not even
really
the blueprints. It's surface. A picture that is like an interpretation of the blueprints.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of decode.
He's a structural engineer. I feel like he could not work with that.
You've seen the blueprints. Better than that. I've got them on me. Are you kidding me?
Like, Lincoln's like, he goes, look closer. And he just looks at him, he's like, I still can't see anything. Like, it's just so fucking blind.
It's a shitty gargoyle in a cathedral. What do you want?
Like, that's the big, that's, the show should really end there. He's like, well, look, I can't read this. So, this is not helpful.
Illegible. I'm already being executed and you've just thrown your life away. Great.
And how integral, yeah. couldn't he just
I can
like,
die unhappy.
Could he just memorize the plan to break him out? Does he need the tattoo? I'd like, how useful are the blueprints going to be? If he devises... He's got the blueprints in him when he's out, you know, before he goes into prison to meet his brother. He's got them there, obviously, to get the tattoo. Devise your plan and then go in. You don't need to memorize the blueprints of the whole prison. You just need to know, like, your mapped out escape route, you know?
It's like not studying for an exam and just taking a cheat sheet in.
Yeah.
I'll do it on that.
But it's the whole book.
But you cheat sheet's the whole, yeah. The whole, everything that's ever been written on that subject.
I don't know what subject this is, but I'll figure it out when I'm there.
Yeah.
It's like an open book exam.
I just went to the student bookshop and bought every single textbook. Just in case one of them is relevant to the subject. I took them all into the exam.
Look closer.
Look closer.
It's all here.
They really so rush stupid. Through the pro... They really rush through the prologue of this show really like super
quick. Mate.
It's like 2-3 minutes and we're in jail. Like
they're trying to... This is one of those things they're trying to run through so quick that we don't notice how fucking stupid it is.
Yeah.
And look, they get it done pretty quick.
The guy who is D.B. Cooper, the infamous D.B. Cooper, who's, you know, never been found or whatever.
Who's a pet lover? He'll deny it, but he's D.B. Cooper. Parachuted out of a plane 30 years ago with $1.5 million in cash. Doesn't look like the type. Who does?
Bit of folklore. He's obviously meant to be the Brooks of this prison. But instead of having like a little blackbird that he's befriended that, you know, can fly in and out of his cell, he's got a fucking cat. He's got a whole cat.
How'd you get it in here?
First off, she's not an it. She's Marilyn, and she's grandfather. Back from the days when prisoners were allowed a creature comfort or two.
It's just a cat!
Why would they allow that? They don't allow
know.
That.
Why would they allow that? They don't allow that. It doesn't make any sense.
The show has just works on so many assumptions. The biggest one is in the prologue, which they rush through. It's like, well, he's going to prison. Let's put him in the prison with his brother, who's on death row.
Yeah, because he requests it.
They wouldn't do that.
He requests it.
Like that's just... It's ludicrous. But anyway, the cat... I want to get back to the cat again. You can't have a cat in a prison. They don't allow that.
They don't allow you to have cats in prison.
Even if you're a kindly old man?
Especially if you're a kindly old man.
Maybe if you convince the guards you're D.B. Cooper... They let you have a cat. Some of that moolah, some of that plain cash.
My favourite scene in this first episode, though, is without question when Dominic Purcell's character Link, his son comes to visit him in prison, and they have that conversation. He's like,
"I'm not asking you to love me. I already screwed up that chance long ago. I'm asking you to love yourself.
You don't want to end up like me. No, don't walk away."
So fucking bad.
So
bad.
Show some sort of emotion. Surely he had to audition for this role, and they would have worked out like he's got no emotional range. It was the kid just walks off at him, and he barely reacts. He's like, "No, don't go." And you're okay. What's going on? You're getting executed, and your son has no interest in you. Show something.
I thought it was more
dialogue's so stilted as well.
You know when he's Link's son's mum is talking to him, trying to work out why he's acting up lately, and it like takes her a little bit, and she's like, "I know what it is. It's your father."
Well, where is this coming from, LJ? Last semester you were getting almost all A's, and now it's your father, isn't it?
Of course, it's your father. Why wouldn't it be his father? He's on death row. Like, obviously, that's going to be pretty tumultuous.
For an incredibly high-profile murder. That's probably going to mess you up a bit.
Yeah.
Then your one lifeline, your uncle, also went to prison.
Let's go see him.
And she can't put her finger on it? Nah, come on.
Hang on.
Mother of the year.
There's so many scenes like that. Pretty much every scene where Dominic Purcell or Wentworth Miller are interacting with other characters. The other actor is just... like
completely
the one
unrealistic.
Where, yeah, it's... It, well,
they don't
the
have
other
the
chops actors,
to talk to other people.
They're carrying the scene. The scene where he's in talking to Laurie Grimes from The Walking Dead. That whole interaction...
That's
like,
who
it
is.
Kind of, yeah, they're kind of flirting. Like, I'm like, is she the only one acting here? Like, is he aware that the cameras are rolling and they're recording it? Because it's just like it's like he doesn't know how to actually be a person.
And he's just got that one speed of just smug. Yeah. Like, it makes this whole episode so... I wouldn't even say bad, just, like, unenjoyable watching.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be your leading man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this played in 2006, 2004.
Yeah.
But,
it's just like, obviously he has that half smile the entire time, so he knows what's going on, and we're just completely in the dark, but it's just so ridiculous that you just can't trust him, that it's all going to make sense at all, because it doesn't. It can't.
No.
Why does he pretend to have diabetes?
Your body's reacting to the insulin like you're not a diabetic. You sure it's type 1 diabetes you've got?
Ever since I was a kid.
All right.
And wouldn't any sort of self-respecting doctor pick up pretty quickly on the fact that he doesn't actually have diabetes? Like, He's like, "I don't know, we tested your blood, and the blood sugar levels seem fine." He's like, no, I've had it my whole life, trust me. Just give me the insulin.
Give me on this one. Yeah, I was trying to figure that one out. I think Aaron knows because he's got that one locked away.
Is part of his plan to befriend her to like? Because is she who he's married to in the last episode?
Yeah, that's her.
So she leaves the door open for them or something.
Well, he's got his whole little like origami crane thing that so he gets into the infirmary and puts it down so he can, I don't know, figure out where all the drains lead.
Because they didn't put the drains in the floor plan.
Drains are a mystery.
Yeah, exactly. All that you can
locked up by a plumber's code.
It always starts.
You can break out of a prison,
hospital.
But you can't break into that.
Wouldn't that origami crane just be mush? Wouldn't it just be a mushy bit of paper?
Is that a lot?
Yeah.
But it's all about the infirmary pipes. You can learn everything you need to know about a prison by just putting something in the pipe from the hospital wing or the infirmary.
Yeah, you make a peace offering to the infirmary gods.
Exactly. It's like, just what do the infirmary gods desire? Paper cranes.
It'll make my diabetes real.
Exactly.
Yeah, I assume he's like the insulin gives you like I don't know, some sort of second life, like in Mario.
Oh, okay. So you can just like get a super jump and just
he sort of gets out in the body bag, level. You know?
Yeah, it's like a mushroom.
Yeah, sort of like a mushroom.
So it makes him bigger, so he'd just be like, he's actually like half the size, so he takes insulin. It makes him sort normal size.
Just like bashing down walls in the prison. That's how jumping the first
on
the season
other,
ends.
Jumping on top of the other prisoners.
Yeah. Goobers, yeah.
I do want to point out, this was a, I think it was probably the peak time for the crew cut. Everyone's rocking the shaved head in this.
Mm. That's prison, after all.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
That's kind of Wentworth Miller's shtick as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got a bit of Jonathan Brown syndrome though. His hairline seems to be growing over his forehead and getting down. Is that just me?
I also think his hair is too kind of sparse to look good if he grew it out though. But judging by the way he rocks it when it's shaved, I don't know if he could grow it out. I don't know if it would work for him. Let's have a look.
I wouldn't care to speculate myself.
Probably never done.
My favorite scene of this whole episode came in the warden's office.
Oh my god!
So the warden, when Michael comes into prison, he checks his file, sees that he's a structural engineer, so he gets him up there to help out with a project for his wife. He's making a Taj Mahal replica out of matchsticks.
What is that?
He can't get it right. It's not structurally sound, so he needs a structural engineer.
The prisoner can work
in his office for like 3 days a week for months to help him make a present for his wife because he can't say I love you.
What kind?
He's been a terrible husband for 30 years.
My wife has never complained, and the worst part of it is I've never thanked her. So, because I couldn't say it, I thought I could build it.
It is the most ludicrous storyline.
And the fact that Michael, this was part of his plan. Like, he presumably had to get in with the warden.
And he's got like,
he knows this was the, he knew the warden was shitty at making models.
They have that shot from inside the matchstick Taj Mahal where the corridor's collapsing a little bit. So it like, it sells the story that it does need to be, it's an engineer's eye.
He's going to show that up.
This is what I'm talking about with the assumptions. Like, there's so much has to be assumed to be able to go right.
That's
for his
equivalent of doing the warden's taxes in.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like a way more useful skill for the warden to tap into.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I see that says, when you were 12 years old, you won second prize in a toothpick bridge making competition.
You make a hell of a diorama.
I need
this guy. He literally says a few days a week out of the yard. Like, how long is it going to take to build this model? Just a little bit slow.
This man,
like,
presumably, is a professional.
But also,
it looks
pretty complete. Like, it doesn't seem like you would need
to. He's done a lot
spend...
of the legwork. Just like one thing in the middle, and you're probably fine.
It's going to be fine. Yeah.
Just a couple of trusses in the corridors, couple of beams.
The most unrealistic thing about this is that he does enough research. The warden does enough research on him to find out that he is a structural engineer, but not that his brother is in the prison with him.
Why have they got
something fishy about that?
Mm. Why have they got different names, though?
Well, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
For the audience, I don't know.
To throw off the feds, I guess. That's what they don't know, their brothers.
Feds don't look at last name. Like,
has one of them
if the last names don't match up,
they don't follow it up. But yeah, because there's obviously some conspiracy going on. Because Link had killed supposedly the vice president's brother.
Mm.
And Michael wants to unravel this whole thing or get him out so then they can exonerate him. And there's shots of like the FBI office where they're like, well, I mean, they assassinated Bishop who might get him off death row. Yet they don't somehow just send his brother to a different prison. That would just be the easiest thing to do.
Mm.
If there was any doubt, any concern of like, oh, this guy's brother who has no criminal record all of a sudden goes to be with his brother, this is a bit fishy.
Mm.
Yeah.
They just let it slide.
It's probably easier to kill bishops.
Yeah.
That's true.
Do you think part of why Wentworth Miller is so smug walking around everywhere and smiling is... It's because he's read the script, so he knows everything. He's like, I know. It's like everything he's saying doesn't matter because I know because I've read the script. I get it.
It's all going to work
out. That's why he's so smug all the time.
For me.
I know I'm the smart guy in this.
I'm trying to like direct him to just play it straight, and he just won't do it. He can't do it.
Oh, wait, I see what you're saying.
Why are you smiling about that?
Why smile?
I know what happens in the script next.
I'm going to get away with it. Yeah.
All right. Just pretty jazzed about how this is all going to play out for me.
Don't worry, I got plot armor.
Coming up Wentworth.
And I just don't understand, coming back to the ads with you, Morgan, I don't understand, like, why is Australia bragging about Dominic Purcell being in this show?
Shouldn't be.
He is such trash.
We should be covering
this
that
is not
up.
A good This is not a good export.
They flogged it so hard.
This is like saying, like...
Do they still do it?
Like, spruking Christopher Skase. Like, it's...
Yeah.
No good. You just don't want to go there.
Jesus. Do they still do it with Australian actors in American shows?
Well, they don't do it with Christopher Skase anymore, if that's what you think. he's been blacklisted. No, they still do, because they did that with Alex O'Loughlin and Hawaii Five-0, and...
I do not know who that is.
Oh, I remember Ozzy Allen Dale in The O.C.
The Mentalist?
Oh, what, the older guy?
Yeah. Yeah, The Mentalist, Simon Baker.
Yeah.
I remember they did it once with that Australian actor. I don't know how to... I think his last name's Gemu, like Damien Gemu. He's like he's in a few things here and there. He's not super famous, but they advertise him as in being in How I Met Your Mother. Has one line, and it's such a quick throwaway scene.
That is just pathetic.
Why are we so obsessed with getting validation from...
American shows.
Yeah.
It's only American shows as well.
It is. Mm. Yeah, we're just desperate to be recognized.
We've got to talk about Michael's cellmate, Sucre, who is, as you pointed out many times, Scott, is 100% exposition.
Faith Street Deuce has got the hoops. Nortenia's got the bleachers. Wood's got the weight pile. CEO's got the rest. Wholesale's got it wired up out of commissary. Anything you want, he can get it for you. Man killed the vice president's brother. In a month, he's getting the chair.
Spewing constantly out of his mouth.
In the first 10 minutes, there is not a line that he says that is not direct exposition explaining who everyone is in the prison.
Throwing
questions at Michael about, like, getting little bits of his backstory, getting things about his brother. It's all... so ham-fisted.
This guy, he runs the workshop. This guy, he'll get you something from the outside. I mean, the only thing that makes that semi-justified is because they have so many goddamn plates spinning in the first episode that they need to have that exposition out there to make it some way comprehensible.
You would be completely lost.
But they dug that hole for themselves.
Did you guys notice in... I only caught this on my second viewing, my little rush through that I do just before the episode, before we start recording. But in the opening scene where Schofield is like in his fancy hotel room or whatever, and he's got all the, you know, all the stuff up on the walls and the little DB Cooper snippet, and then he gets rid of it all, and then he grabs a hard drive out of a computer
and
walks out
onto
the balcony and just pegs it into what is presumably quite a busy CBD,
just into the street. Yeah.
I mean, I was half expecting it to be a part of his plan. Like, he threw it and it hit the lead prosecutor of the... Like,
it's
so dangerous. Like, those things
destroy
will...
It.
If that hit you... Yeah, also, it doesn't guarantee to actually destroy the hard drive.
It probably just bounce around. Yeah, and then someone would pick
it
up.
Just unscrew it and scratch it or something. But, like, can you imagine that thing hitting you from, like 8 stories up? It could very well kill you.
Maybe that was his plan to get put in prison. Whip that off the balcony, kill someone with it, and then that failed. So he's like, guess I'll rob a bank.
<That's best thing. laughs> 25 to life for throwing a hard drive off a hotel balcony. Does that get us to, is that enough chat about the first episode? Do we want to jump ahead to see how these fellas broke out?
I think so.
In the finale, prison has been broke as Michael and a pregnant Dr. Sarah are getting married on a Miami beach with Lincoln and Sucre there to celebrate. But the feds bust up the party and arrest Sarah for a murder that's part of some government conspiracy.
Sarah Tancredi, you're under arrest for the murder of Christina Hampton.
What? She didn't kill anyone!
Sarah is jailed and has a hit put out on her by a burned face man in another prison. So just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. Michael has to break Sarah out. With some triple crossing, a man with a hand that looks like cheese, and a lot of convoluted planning, Michael springs Sarah out but sacrifices himself in the process.
You know, we spend so much of our lives not saying the things we want to say, the things we should say. We speak in code and we send little messages, origami. So now, plainly, simply, I want to say that I love you both. Very much.
So, the cheese hand guy...
what is that guy?
I thought because the first time they show him, he's kind of like got it hidden under his coat because he's carrying
a newspaper or something.
Like I thought that was cat guy, but no, he's got a block of cheese for a hand. It's kind of like it's like Chubbs in Happy Gilmore. It's the same hand. They obviously go to the same guy, but his is made out of cheese. I guess you're wanting You need dual purpose prosthetics also, in prison.
His name is Teabag.
Yeah. Theodore Bagwell.
Theodore Teabag. Don't leave it. Just reminded me of Arrested Development. Don't leave your Uncle Teabag hanging.
So
don't call yourself that.
My biggest problem with this episode, I think it was better than the pilot. But
funnily, yes.
All of the double and triple...
That is such an indictment on the pilot. That they started really with that heap of shit.
All of the double and triple crossing is like... I don't know if the show is aware that that's what it's doing as well. It's kind of like... They're trying to be like Ocean's 11 and, you know, Wentworth Miller's plan for people to rat him out and all of this sort of stuff.
You see, there's only one thing you can count on when you're dealing with Teabag. He's a rat.
But the whole... storyline with the FBI agent who's just feeding information straight back to the FBI that they still trust. Mm. And at the end, like, he's there and he's torn, but this guy's clearly just ratting them out. Like, is that... Did they know that he was ratting them out?
Yeah, he was, like, intentionally feeding them details to kind of lead them down the wrong track.
Okay, he was in on it.
Yeah.
So that's the reveal at the end where it does show that he helped them escape to, I don't know, Costa Rica or somewhere. That's them kind of acknowledging that he was in on, and the false information was all part of the plan.
Yeah,
exactly.
How does he get into the prison then? Because the whole plan is he's going to parachute in, and they go to a parachute store, and like there's a whole thing about him buying parachutes.
I've got a few issues with the parachute.
And then
store.
They're like a life size action man who's just on the end of the parachute, and then they don't actually explain how he got in.
Crash test dummy.
Yeah, did he also parachute? Did they send two in?
No, he came in under a car. They had a shitty flashback of him strapping himself to the bottom of the FBI agent's car just outside the prison gate.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
That has got to be one of the worst uses of a flashback I think I've ever seen in any piece of media.
It's so redundant. Ever. You see him unstrapping himself from the car and like shimmying out while he's distracted. We don't need anything more.
You don't need it.
And it's also not that... When that all happens, so the dummy comes down, the guards gun the dummy down.
They opened right up. That's outrageous, by the way.
Yeah, they did not... Like, they wouldn't do that. They didn't need... There was 30 of them there.
Safety's off.
And he lands.
Four bullets.
Yeah. He lands and then they go, all right, open fire. Get him, men. And then they run over there and they go, oh,
wouldn't they
dummy.
Want to arrest him? Wouldn't they want to...
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't they want to lie
with some information?
Mm. And he's not even landing in the prison. The dummy ends up landing outside the... Because they're stationed outside, right?
The gates.
Yeah, it lands on the grass outside. So, and then they and just then, while, riddle while it with bullets. All right, let's see what's going on.
Wentworth Miller just gets out from under the car and runs off, and they didn't see him.
Right, nobody's and everybody's too busy falling in with bullets.
Yeah. It was the perfect plan.
Exactly. He knew they'd do that.
Look.
He knew that. Like, he knew
no security anywhere else.
I'm surprised you didn't turn me. Holy shit, they gunned it down? Like, it could have been me.
I thought it was going to be the FBI guy. What's his name? He's a semi-famous actor.
He's in the Dark Knight.
William Fichtner.
He's the guy that gets...
Fichtner?
Yeah.
He's head crushed by Bane.
Fichtner, yeah.
My men round the city in the sewers. That guy.
Wait, I thought he was... Wasn't he the bank manager in the first one? Was he in?
You're right. He is the bank manager.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
A joker.
Think of another dude.
Yeah. Do you have any idea who just robbed?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Who am I? I can't compete with you, Morgan.
Yeah. Get this. Not in my house.
Morgan, you make me look like a regular Jeremy Wiseman.
Yeah, exactly. I make you look like a face blindness.
It's like you just parachuted down into his front yard and he just unloaded on you.
Pretty much. I don't know what the opposite is of face blindness. Like, you've got some sort of like, if Jez is a disability, yours is, I don't know what a, so it's like an X-Men superhuman strength. Yeah, kind
I'm
of
high
thing.
Functioning.
High functioning.
I'm like Alan in The Hangover, except instead of being able to count cards, I can just recount all the character actors in any TV show of all.
Never forget
their names and what else you would have seen them in.
Its uses will reveal it themselves to you, Morgan.
One day.
I was wondering why I was looking so smug the whole episode.
All part of the plan.
Exactly. I couldn't wait to blow the lid on that William Fichtner thing. I knew someone was going to get it wrong. I tell you what, the amount of the use of the term retrofits in this episode. Oh yeah, they had to retrofit it all because of the distance and the change of angle.
When the FBI agent, the guy that's onto them,
the one who's trying to lock them back up.
So you thought that we wouldn't be onto the fact that you knew that it was retrofitted. So we've recalibrated the security cameras or whatever to cover the blind spot. And then it cuts to like a workman. It looks like he's kind of just like rubbing Vaseline on the lens.
Well, that real soft focus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they love a soft lens. So. Don't know this harsh HD shit that they roll with.
So weird. There's so much like, not even jargon, but like sort of loose terminology that they hope that people won't, think too deeply about all of the retro, like you said, Morgan, the use of the word retrofitting when they're covering the blind spots and all this sort of stuff like this.
Yeah.
They don't ever, it's just like, it's like the executive summary of what would happen in, what they'd actually show you in an Ocean's 11 movie or something. The fully fledged plan. They're like, do we have to think about that whole thing? I mean, do we have to really come up with a plan that we've got to relay to the audience? Can't we just kind of like, just yada, yada, yada it?
Yeah, this is the electrolyte imbalance line. It's pretty much. Like, we'll just recalibrate retrofitting.
And he's got
it all covers it.
He's got his way to like bust him out at the end is he's got a credit card with some wires stuck in it. And then it's hooked up to like a power source. I don't know. That's like their special. It's like they don't have the budget to show any, fancy gadgets or tools or whatever. So they've just got.
But he didn't end up using the credit card thing. That didn't work.
It didn't work.
That
was,
no.
But was that part of his plan?
I think he was like, no. I think it was like he knew it might not work. So he knew that he'd, his fallback was to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, which he did because he had a brain tumor and he was going to die anyway.
But he doesn't
but
die.
But I don't know. He didn't sell it, the fact that he was surprised or disappointed by the scanner not working. It seemed like that's what he knew was going to happen.
Well, because he read the script.
Oh,
so
he read
knew.
The script.
He read the script.
Yeah.
Scripts on the night.
Just doesn't understand the concept of acting, Wentworth Miller. So, all right, Wentworth, I want you to play this like you're the smartest guy in the room. He's like, well, yeah, I mean, I know what happens because I read the script.
Yeah,
no, but your character doesn't really know what happens. You mean my character doesn't know? I'm my character.
Character? I read the thing. Like, what are we doing here?
I don't understand.
Roll up.
Here's another weird one, weird moment from this episode. After they send, what's her mate's called, name? Sucre. They send him out, hit the shopping list, go get this stuff. And they one of the things on this, dry ice? And they get him to get dry ice so they can fake it. They get the dry ice so they can fake, make the car look like it's broken down. But they're like, more dry ice, put more in the tank. He grabs it with his bare hand and just drops it in. Drops a cube of the dry ice. Like, I was watching that. I'm like, and like my girlfriend, I'm like, Ron, you can't pick up dry ice like that. She's like, no, burn your hand. I was like, I knew it.
What about, I thought you were going to talk about when they go to rob the guy to get the money to fake pay Teabag, but actually to give them, their getaway buffer. And he calls the guy. It's like,
yeah, Mr. Daniels, American Paint Company here for the job.
Well, this is Mr. Daniels, but I didn't order any painters.
It's Wednesday, sir. I believe you did.
Okay, hold it right there. I'm calling the police.
And then it cuts to the guy's looking at the guy at the door. He's already trying to, like, shimmy open the lock.
For 55 seconds.
Why have the cover? Why the cover?
Yeah.
Why
break into his house and pull a gun out?
Hey, it's me, the painting guy, who is trying to break into your house. Not like, what? He doesn't even try to see if the cover works. He's just straight into it.
Just went straight forward. And I'm breaking in through the front door, mind you, in broad daylight.
And then
completely glass door. You sit eye to eye, just looking at him.
Dominic Purcell comes in through the garage with a gun anyway. Like, why do they need the painter out? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. They should have just waited in the garage as soon as he went in there with the suitcase.
It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. Sucre just has the most pointless storylines. Like, the fact that... So, that he it was his responsibility to
wire the money.
Get the $100,000, deposit it into the bank to get it into T-Bag's account, right?
No.
Wentworth Miller already knows that, like, T-Bag's going to double-cross him. So, they don't need to get the money in. But they still have a scene where he goes to the bank and gets there at 7:02, and he's like, "Ah, fuck, it's closed."
No. Like, so that's he was actually going to deposit it so that they could wire it to
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Oh.
For the escape money. They reveal that at the
but
end.
But he still fucked it up.
But he still fucked it up, and they don't have
it. What was he? What was he doing all day?
They get the money. It's daylight, and then by the time he gets to a bank, it is 7:02.
What has he done?
Surely.
Is this like Magnum PI? Is he going to get a haircut in between?
Yeah,
like,
surely that's going to be pretty close to the top of the to-do list that day.
He's got one job. Two jobs. Break into the door. He's had to go can't to see
his plastic surgeon to get his hand reconstructed from the dry ice burns.
Spent 95 grand on that. Yeah. It's only 5 grand left.
The cheese model or what?
Cheese head.
Good enough.
This one's very popular.
Nice,
very popular.
A soft brie.
Also,
a mature cheddar.
A soft brie ham.
You do not want to move to Costa Rica.
Brie, no, that thing's melting,
dripping off day one.
But also, who is Teabag? What is that character? I don't understand. Like, he clearly was a villain at some point. I feel like same thing with Sucre.
Why has he got all these the show, cuts on his face?
And why's that other guy poorly done?
Oh, they're so the makeup's so inconsistent in this episode.
And the bird face man, his wounds look outrageously fresh.
Oh,
it's like so. T-Bag has this weird relationship where he's like the burnt face man's lackey, who's king of the prison, and then does the old switcheroo on him by getting the 100 grand. Oh man, there's so much other stuff going on with Sarah in her prison. There's a whole thing with the daddy and the family.
Yeah, can we talk about this daddy dynamic? So there's like in the women's prison, there's sort of like the head honcho, who's this kind of woman that sort of looks a little bit like Fred Armisen.
Yes, that's what she looked like.
and she sort of like emulated the women's prison kind of like equivalent of a hierarchy. Is apparently some sort of family where you have a partner and some kids that you raise who are older than you, and the whole thing's quite strange, to be honest. But
very strange.
How do you get to be daddy in prison? Like, what do you got to do? Because looking like Fred Armisen doesn't really get you to the top.
I don't
look very imposing.
I'm sorry. You got to forgive my old lady. You're just a little bit easy on the eyes, What? You want to watch your tone, Agatha?
Sorry.
Or you want me to take off my belt?
Sorry.
Kid. It's rough. It's hard running a family.
What do you have to do to be that domineering?
Just wearing XXXL clothes.
It's all in the like baggy
shirts. That's the Shaq t-shirt from Wishbone.
It's the Shaq t-shirt from Wishbone, isn't it?
It's huge.
It's outrageous.
It must have been a wardrobe thing. It's like they just got one size fits all.
Yeah.
We couldn't afford normal fitting clothes for you. We ran out of budget. They spent it all on acting classes for Wentworth Miller and Dominic Purcell.
Like, what a fucking...
hole in the bucket. Straight through. One
in one ear, out
money
the other.
Down the drain.
This is an absolute money pit.
That's such a weird storyline to invest like half of the finale in. Like introducing this brand new dynamic of daddy and a family in like a weird cult.
Yeah.
Just for this one episode. It's bizarre.
It's really, really strange.
They could have built up, so the idea that she needed protection didn't need that much sort of depth to it.
No. Like that's a well-established prison trope.
Yeah.
Just roll with that.
Like those characters, I wouldn't mind watching for a couple episodes.
They could have invested.
See how that unravels.
Yeah. You just don't need that much in one finale.
No, you have the scene at the start where she gets beat up by the guards, which is great. And then, you know, you have like someone come in and say they need protection. You don't need to go into like the family tree of the daddy and the mummy in there, are they?
In a weird, weird cult where they're branding people with a snake.
But the
protection though, she needed protection from the one person who actually wanted to help her so they could both get out. I just really feel that whole the family thing, if they just cut all of that out, you probably could have got this whole episode into one. We didn't need a double. This could have been done in one tight episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, even you could even get rid of, like, you could even get rid of the FBI guy. Don't even really need him for that matter. They introduced all these new characters for this one finale, and it was the same roundabout thing where Wentworth Miller's walking around being smug the whole time because he knows what happens because he's read the script.
Yes. I'm gonna die.
It was still, like you said, Jez, it was still better than the first one, but like so much irrelevant shit happens. I was the whole time, I was so annoyed that it was a double. I'm like, this is fucked. Like, this didn't need to be this long. I hate it when we get subjected to doubles, especially when it doesn't need to be a double.
It's an attack on us, really.
Yeah.
It's a slight on us. Do you guys think we should brand ourselves with TIS? Like a
snakes?
TIS thing and brand ourselves?
I reckon that little arrow circle, that lends itself to a nice branding.
What's kind of our, what's our family dynamic, you know?
Well, Morgan's definitely the father.
I'm the father.
I think you two are Morgan and I and my parents. And Scott's got to be the dad with that moustache. So,
okay.
That makes Aaron the mum.
I've asserted my dominance.
I was going to say, I actually felt that you're the child, Jez. Scott's the mum.
I'm clearly, you guys can fight over the rest. I'm clearly a child,
so. Yeah, you're the baby. Well, no, I was going to say Aaron was, so I'm the father, Scott's the mother, you're the child, and Aaron's the Al Borland.
You gotta have an Al Borland.
We're doing it right. We're gonna do it right, and we need to have an Al Borland. So therefore, that's what Aaron's character is.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of obvious, but that's just me. That's how I see it.
That's what the modern nuclear family unit looks like.
Exactly.
Plaid shirt and tool belt in prison.
I think they'll let it fly.
Standard issue.
I tell you what, you could write Al Borland into this show and I'd be all about it. Okay, Wentworth, we're gonna construct our way out of here.
he could have been like running the prison industry's shop, you know, like the woodworking shop, or I'm sure they would have had it.
Imagine him pulling there, building gadgets to get out. It'd be awesome. This show would be so much more watchable.
It'd be way better. You just have Wilson poking his head over the prison fence. Yeah.
Would he be a prison guard? Just what's going on in here?
Poking through the little peek hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
Delivering life lessons. Throughout the storyline in the women's prison, there's sort of like this larger woman who is sort of shown to be like a bit of a lone wolf kind of thing. And she sort of has an integral role at the end where she's
bit of an ogre.
Beaten up daddy. Bit of an ogre kind of character. Yeah, sort of that sort of stereotypical kind of thing. In the credits, I was like, well, they do say her name, right?
To the listeners, it's kind of like the cave troll's role in the Fellowship of the Ring.
Well,
just kind of come in and
be
wreck some
and,
shit.
And,
yeah.
My impression of her role was more like the chief in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So I was hoping it'd be like she just picks up a sink off the wall, throws it through the prison wall, and they just walk out.
Classic ending. You can't go wrong with that.
Anyway, Scott, sorry.
It's very safe. So you think she's not going to have a character name, but then when she does her sort of pivotal thing at the end of the episode where she, like, Laurie from The Walking Dead pushes Daddy into her and she's like, rawr, she does a big ogre thing. And Daddy's like, no, look, Skittles, we can deal with this.
Skittles?
Okay, we cool. We cool.
So a nickname Skittles. The character name is Skittles in the show. The actor's name in the credits, his first name is Rainbow?
Rainbow.
Rainbow, okay.
Which I'm Rainbow. Assuming, it's Taste the Rainbow, right? Skittles?
Is that some very, very deep product placement?
I don't know. I don't understand.
Like, so like Subway in Community.
Yeah. I think they just have a normal last name. But
they've
first name Rainbow.
That can't
the
be.
The character's name Skittles. That's not an accident.
Yeah, she's embedded by Skittles. I don't know about you guys, but I could really use some Skittles right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's worked. It took took 12 years.
We invested $200 million in the acting classes from bankrolled by Skittles.
Sell 4 bags of Skittles.
I know. Rainbow's someone else, Scott. You've got it mixed up. Her name
are you serious?
Yeah, her name's Dot. Dot Marie. A hyphenated
damn
last
it.
Name. Dot Marie Jones.
I thought I connected all the
yeah. Rainbow Borden is... I don't know who he was.
You just have Skittles on the mind.
Well, I mean, it worked.
Yeah. Went crazy to think about Skittles. Started making links that weren't there.
Like Charlie and Sweet Sunny. This guy's all the way at the top.
I just want to quickly go back to the skydiving shop. You guys ever seen a skydiving shop? Just go down and buy a parachute? Just get a parachute shop?
I was talking to Aaron about this. Do they just let you go buy a parachute? They probably want to have a chat to you about what you're going to use it for, right? I would assume.
I reckon it'd be fine.
I don't... seems like it's like a like spearfishing. It's like I don't think they just give it to you.
I reckon the plane is where they have the chat. If you want a parachute, you can get it.
They're not dangerous. There's no real reason why you couldn't just go and buy a parachute.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things that like
you should need
some sort of expertise to. Yeah, that's just an accident waiting to happen. Some 16-year-old kid's going to go and get a parachute and jump off a cliff. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know. Probably just was going to die of something eventually.
I don't know how to sell this anymore.
Yeah, the FBI were all over that, but didn't seem to have any men on the exit where the escape route from the prison was, where I just had a car pulled up next to the wire fence, the back door of the prison where
that was
Sarah
surprising.
Could just walk and meet Michael Scofield, expert prison escapee's brother, hanging out there ready to roll. They were blinded by the light of the parachute.
Just considering all the build-up and all the build-up and everything that happened, the fact that she just kind of walks out the side doors, it's like, yeah.
How do you not really? Have the exits covered?
It seems pretty lazy. I mean, they had like 20 guys in the yard. Maybe just spread them out like around the
they
fence.
Shot that guy 40 minutes ago. They shot that dummy 40 minutes ago. What are they doing now?
And they know there's something up. Yeah.
Mm.
There's something still up and they haven't left the yard yet. Like, oh, he's going to parachute in. He's definitely coming. But that the parachute plan was sincerely put on the table initially by Sir Cray. Or I keep forgetting his name.
Okay, so if we can't go through, what if we go down? Like down into the prison, like we parachute in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you parachute in, you find her, we get her out.
Are you kidding?
I'm serious.
That's suicide. Hey.
I couldn't believe that was even suggested. Like, you know, they always say there's no bad ideas in brainstorming. That's a bad idea. Parachute in? Then what?
Yeah.
then you're in the prison.
You just doubled your problem.
Exactly. You get four of you out.
You got to get them out of the prison, not into the prison.
Oh, it's just, I was so insane. This was, I was really excited. When I say really excited, I was like, I thought this was going to be
more excited than most shows.
Yeah, I actually thought this was going to be really good. And it was really shit. It was so shit. Like, this was such a drag to watch this double finale. I was livid. So, thanks for nothing, Prison Break.
Are we done with it? Are we moving on to reboots? See if we can
I think
better?
It's time to move on.
I think we're done. Yeah, I think we're done. I've got a half-baked idea, and then I've got an idea that I came up with on the fly. So I've got two.
Show us them tattooed on your body.
Okay. You have to look really closely at the tattoos. Otherwise, it won't make sense. The first one is they're both reality shows. So the first one is a baking contest where prisoners are given a limited amount of tools inside the kitchen wing and have to sort of bake really interesting pastries and like as a competition. It's kind of like MasterChef or the Masked Singer.
What's it called?
It's called Prison Bake.
Very good.
That was a bit of low hanging fruit.
Did I have to bake contraband into like cakes and stuff? That's a classic way to get stuff in, isn't it?
That's a great idea. Prison bake. Okay, and like I like that.
Nail file in a baguette. Nail file.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And the other one I came up with is a reality TV show with Wentworth Miller and Al Borland, and they like Wentworth Miller. They go to prisons and like he shows you how all the escape points, like how you could get out, and then Al Borland has to fix them. So it's like they go there and then they basically fix up they go to prisons and make them unescapable because Wentworth Miller obviously he's read the script.
He knows where all the holes are.
And then Al Borland just goes around. So Wentworth, we'll just board this up here and he just makes the prisons inescapable. It's called Prison Improvement.
Nice. Retrofitting masterclass.
Yeah. I'd watch that show just to see the interactions between those two.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about Al getting his hands dirty. I just want to see those two talking to each other.
Al Borland seems like a very mild-mannered man, but I reckon eventually Wentworth's smugness will make him snap.
Mm. Oh, definitely.
And he'll end up in a prison, have to break out.
What, so he comes folding it up too well.
Oh, no.
Al just turned on him with a claw hammer. I'm sick of you being so smug.
Wentworth, I knew this would happen.
I have a really quick reboot, which is just a little side hustle for Wentworth Miller. Clearly, acting is not going to be really working out for him, but bit of a wordsmith. So, Wentworth Miller, as Michael Scofield, is going to offer a service. He's going to write your wedding proposal for you. If she says no, money back, guaranteed. just like, I don't know, maybe like $100 or something like that. He's got all the best words. It's sort of that's a storyline that we kind of glossed over. But he helps Sucre write his wedding proposal to his soon-to-be fiancé whilst he's in prison.
What's another word for love?
What's the context?
Oh, you know. The I love you so much, I'm never knocking over a liquor store again context. Except, you know, classy. I'm proposing to my girl, if you gotta know.
Try passion.
Ooh, passion. That's dope.
So
it works.
So that money back guarantee, he's gonna get a lot of offers to write letters for some unsolicited proposals.
Yeah, I guess so. He would really get flooded. Because you don't have to, I guess, no prerequisites. So you don't have to know the person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's really,
he's gonna have a lot of work on his hands.
Fling him out. I don't know. You know, they might say yes.
Yeah, worth roll the dice.
Or maybe just charge them $1 million, and if one person says yes, you're set.
Set for life.
And you can also you could write really good ones where if you fold the letters up, you get like you fold them to certain shapes. Yeah. It tells you what's that?
A paper crane.
Yeah, you fold them to a paper crane that has like another has another message in it that's created from the words. So you could see it being a pretty cool service.
It's either that or you tattoo it on your body. Those are your two options.
They're two options.
So I'm thinking at some point in the future, we're going to get a TV movie of the whole lockdown experience, Victoria's battle with coronavirus. And I'm hoping it kind of follows some prison break lines. So I'm thinking there's going to be some story about a guy coming in from out of state internationally to Victoria, getting quarantined here, and he's got the molecular structure of the virus tattooed on his body. And that's how we get the vaccine. Hidden amongst all these obscure tribal tattoos or something. It's in there.
So in this scenario, we're being forced into lockdown by the other states, and he's kind of breaking the...
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. It's all a conspiracy against Victoria. And in order to make this plan work, in order to get the vaccine up, he has to seduce Brett Sutton. And help Dan Andrews build a matchstick model of the MCG for his wife.
I love it.
Sounds like a way better version.
Maybe to kind of fit Victorian theme, maybe Dan Andrews is making it out of old Met cards or something.
All right, should we move on to the IMDb list?
Let's do it. I feel like this is going to speak to you guys a bit. I reckon you're going to agree with some of the things in here. This list is called Worst Actors.
Oh.
Okay, all right. Wentworth Miller, great.
Done and done. It's a bit of a spiel. So it is from The Lord ZXV. My opinions about actors who are either bad or just not impressing. There's a list of actors who I don't like. Some of them do have good roles, but those are not going to save them. Don't pick a fight if you dislike. My list, not yours. I don't cry to you if I like these guys. They don't cry to me if I don't. Main reason why someone is in this list might be because they seriously annoyed me in some movies. To have some control in this, I've seen more than one movie program TV season they are in. I know that some people like Bieber have done acting, but thank God I haven't seen it. So Bieber's not on this list.
All right.
just to be clear. Safe. Right. Just to clarify.
To that one.
So don't go crying to this guy if you don't agree, but I think you might agree with Mr. Dominic Purcell.
Ah, Purcell.
He made the list.
Yeah. He's so bad. Yeah, that's where he belongs.
Who else we got on that?
So bad. Well, there's 119 people. There was one snuck in at the end, which could raise a few eyebrows, at number 117, John Travolta.
Ooh.
Don't
you know?
There it is.
There it is. You're spot on, Scott. It is his performance in Swordfish that got him on this list.
We came across that the other night. We were flicking around and he was there.
He's there.
Don't talk, just listen.
It's phenomenal. I actually really do kind of want to watch that. That's the superior goatee you should be going for, Aaron.
Yeah,
one day.
That fucking straight line looks like it's a Sharpie just drawn.
Oh. Do you think he grew that out for the role, or do you think that was glued on?
Awful. It's a piece like the rest of him.
He was just already rocking it when he got cast. He's like, I'm doing this, so you guys better live with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's you can either recast me or we roll like this.
So he's got some free hits, like Exhibit, I reckon that's probably fair to say.
Yeah.
But then he's got Philip Seymour Hoffman, he's got Oscar Isaacs.
What?
Jeez.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Damn. Yeah.
Jeez.
I think that's a bit harsh. I think
inaccurate. He's got some jobs.
Yeah, was he bad?
Doubt. He did not like him in Doubt.
Didn't like him in Doubt.
He's really quite good in... I know you're acting opposite... what's her face? But come on. Yeah. He's still pretty good. What's her name?
Meryl Streep. Yeah. Don't go to this guy if you don't like it.
I'm pretty sure
he doesn't cry to you about your lists.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has sort of... Yeah, if you don't want any people to criticize it, don't put it on IMDb.
Why are you making the list?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's on a public forum. If it's your list privately that people can't criticize, keep
just
it to
tattoo it on your body like a normal person.
Just exactly.
Send him a little crying emoji in a private message.
So, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's widely considered one of the greatest modern actors, not enough for him.
No,
not enough. Just doesn't do it.
Oscar Isaacs, I feel, is pretty stiff as well. I don't think he's really been pretty good and stuff.
Unless he's in Star Wars, then maybe I'll let it slide.
It's Hoffman, Isaacs, and Purcell, peas in a pod.
Yeah, it's true.
Holy trinity of shit actors.
One of these things is not like the other.
Holy trinity. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Well, I normally from here, I say, look, final thoughts on the show, and will you plan to watch any more of this? And I already know the answers. I don't plan to watch any more Prison Break. I have no interest in seeing this ever again.
Well, Morgan, I know you probably wouldn't watch it, but would you play it?
I would.
Because...
I was hoping this would come up.
The Prison Break video game was apparently a thing.
Really?
Play that one on PC.
Yeah, what?
I'm sending you a little something something.
Ooh.
Just take a look at this bad boy. Hello.
Hello.
Look at that man, Michael Schofield, as some kind of poorly... Well, actually, the 3D modeling is not too bad.
The
hand's huge. It's massive.
That's obviously modeled after the cheese hand.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I think it's called Prison Break the Breakout or something like that.
Not a lot of reviews, but the reviews it did get were scathing.
What did Charlie Brooker think?
It's a couple of 2.5s out of 10.
I would love to get my hands on a copy of that game. Give it a bit of a run through. It seems like it would maybe be like a sort of James Bondy style kind of thing, but
Might be hard to come by these days. It's probably buried in the desert somewhere.
That speaks to how massive this show was when it came out. The fact that it got a pairing video game to it. But I remember this show was
that was 5 years
big.
After it came out, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What a cachet. They didn't have the technology to replicate those hands. couldn't get them big enough.
I tell you what, we sort of touched on this earlier in the episode as well. You can see how this show only had four seasons. Because after season one, there's no content. I mean, I know... I can't remember... someone I was speaking to watched it all. I think after this season one, they do... They break out of prison, obviously. Then season two, they're on the run. Then season three, they end up in like a prison in like some South American country somewhere.
Yeah,
and they
they're in like a prison in Ecuador.
Yeah, could and I they just... got to get out of there.
Presumably easier to break out of, but anyway.
Could I just read you the verdict line from IGN's review of Prison Break, The Conspiracy?
Yes.
It's almost as good as Charlie Brooker. the events of Prison Break, The Conspiracy run concurrently with those of the series' first season. Its outcome is the same. They escape, and it doesn't reveal anything that will please fans or cast new light on the show's characters or plot lines. If you're an absolute Prison Break diehard, don't buy this game. Steal a copy instead, surrender yourself to the police, and then get sent to an actual jail because serving a real sentence couldn't possibly be harder time than this.
Oh, man. Brutal.
Prison Break, The Conspiracy, marginally worse than going to actual prison.
That is scathing.
Oh, man.
I tell you what, there's some people, like, this show has just had some absolute hatchet jobs written about it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they expected when they released this game.
True.
But,
I mean, like 3 years after it got cancelled.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Must have been in the pipeline for a long time.
Yeah.
Sunk too much money in.
And I can't imagine a lot of people stuck this show out. People had to have. But like that last episode was just like the
very
same thing from the first one. Except that everyone's all like the characters are all established now and that's about it. But they're not very interesting. Like that Silk Ray in the last episode. Like, why is he still in the show? Like, he's outlived the character's usefulness. They don't need any more exposition. He's just kind of there.
There's always more exposition, Morgan. More where that came from.
Every escape crew needs a dry ice guy.
Someone who can handle it with their bare hands.
Yeah, he's got those frostbitten hands that don't feel anymore.
The sacrificial pair of hands.
Oh, God. No feeling whatsoever in those things. All right. Well, look, maybe we should just wrap things up on that note. So, as always, if you can go onto your preferred podcasting platform and rate and review, that helps us get out there. Jump on our website. Look us up on Google. It's not that hard. I won't say the name. And then drop us a suggestion. Plenty of good stuff out there. And, yeah, jump on our socials and give us a like and give us some more suggestions. And, yeah. Anyway, we'll leave things there. Thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thanks for listening.